Hello, and welcome to a Captain Marvelous lunch break.
Oh, yes.
Today we'll be asking whether this was less of an origin story and more of a pilot episode. See?
Oh, that leads... Sorry.
Fury finds a new furry and discovers that beauty, after all, is in the eye patch of the beholder. Ronan's put off by the fireworks, but is his I'll be back moment more of a I'm going to die in a dance-off to save the universe? And finally, with Danvers in the mixer, what the flirking is going to happen in Avengers Endgame? All this and more on today's A Marvelous Lunch Break. Joining me, as always, is Miss Marvel herself. I mean, do we have to change that name now, or are you
no,
safe?
No, I'm still super into it. Yeah.
Do we have to call you Marvel now? Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Did you see that, like, Marvel was trending for a while? And
too much enunciation. And joining to my right, Agent Martin Carter.
People can't tell whether I'm sitting on your right or your left.
I think they can. My mixing is so good. You get such a great sense of space.
So
in
am
the
I just
podcast.
In people's right ear?
No.
Look behind you.
No, have you never listened to the podcast with two?
Do you know where I mainly listen to this podcast?
Where?
In the shower.
Really?
Really?
Oh, that's nice. I think you know, clearly you've never listened to the podcast with just your left earphone in, because it's just a conversation between me and Anna. Have we both been okay?
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
So it's now what, 3 or 4 days since we all went on opening night to see 2019's Captain Marvel.
There we go.
And I'm very excited to talk about it. But first off, hello as well to all our new listeners this week, or anyone rejoining us from around the world. Do remember, if this is the first time you're tuning in, if you're straight out the cinema and you're like, I need the hottest take on this Captain Marvel movie, and you've come to this podcast for that, there are spoilers. It's probably not the right podcast to be listening to for the hot takes, but if you do enjoy us, please remember to review it, subscribe, and if you want to check us out on our new Instagram...
A Marvelous Lunch Break. There'll be a short interval because I can't log in. So there's been no for a while. But I'll put some stuff up soon.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, I feel like our content's been flowing, okay?
It's fine. I need to think of some more jokes.
If you don't know what we look like, there was a lovely picture of us on the night we went to see the movie.
Yeah, there was.
Should be on our highlights.
It should be.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. We'll assume that you're going to put that on the highlights any minute as soon as Instagram gets back online. Okay, so on with the show. As we've said, we've been to see Captain Marvel. This is a little break from our usual X-Men Season 2 fare. Mm. Back over to the MCU to chat about what's been happening in that universe.
And I'm so much more excited to talk about this than I have been to talk about any of the X-Men films.
Oh,
really?
That's sad.
I think I'm MCU through and through. Mm.
That is really sad.
But good. You know, it's on brand.
Can I get you to pull your microphone a little bit closer? That should be fine. Now people can hear you a lot better.
Oh, God. It's downhill from here.
So, usually we start the podcast with a one-minute roundup, which you've probably had plenty of time to prepare for.
Oh.
But judging by the whispering that you were making before we started recording, I think you were quite nervous that you might strike out for a fourth week in a row.
Well, considering we haven't subjected our listeners to our Logan one yet, that's coming next week.
Spoilers! Dan's messing with the timeline. Dan's back in the 90s.
I tell you what, this timeline is doing my head in.
I know, sorry. We'll be back on track from next week.
Oh, we're back on
track. I think the thing to remember this time is that Anna has new glasses.
Yes.
So Anna now has to wear glasses in the office, looking at screens, all that kind of stuff. And the woman that she recorded for Logan was pre-glasses.
Yes, true.
So when you hear the Logan episode, Anna is still like, everything's wobbly. So I think this is going to make her succeed.
Oh, God, the pressure. Well,
yeah, and you know what?
If she doesn't, there's no excuse.
It's a very Clark Kent thing with the glasses on, glasses off.
Yeah.
I couldn't identify who she was. When she came in the office with glasses on. A completely different person. asked her name and said, are you looking for anyone? Do you need any help getting around?
Help getting
I wear glasses as well. Come on.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So 1 minute. You have 1 minute to the...
Oh, I put such hard words in this. Okay.
I don't know. Get this nailed on. But scroll. If you scroll. Hit that timer, I think we're going to be having some problems.
Okay.
Okay.
And also, sorry. Now the evenings are getting lighter, this is probably the first one you can see a nice bit of background in.
Excellent.
It.
Excellent.
So have a look out the window.
Oh, lovely. Mm. Okay. Right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Amnesic Kree Super Soldier Veers is having a hard time controlling her powerful proton fists and snarky attitude. Her spy retrieval mission goes tits up when she's zapped by the shape-shifting Skrulls, who are after mysterious Dr. Lawson and her special secret light-speed engine. But Veers busts free, runs around barefoot, kicks some Skrull ass, and crash lands in a blockbuster. Sergeant... Agent Nicholas James Fury is on the scene to show off his S.H.I.E.L.D. logo and a baby face Coulson. Banter is interrupted by Skrull attack and semi-successful pursuit. One Alta Vista search later, Veers and Fury bond over more banter and hunt down Lawson. Too damn bad! Turns out Lawson's dead. Also a Kree. The engine was blown to smithereens and nearly killed Veers, but instead gave her super glowy powers. Along with the stowaway cat, Fury and Veers now Carol take refuge with Bestie Rambo and her awesome daughter. But Skrull's on the scene with even more info. Turns out Kree are the bad guys and the Skrulls just want a peaceful home. The team declothes Lawson's space lab when it turns out... I can't. This is too, like, what are you guys God. Doing? What are you guys doing? You were like hovering around me with your phones and stuff. I can't handle
it. I always record
you. What the hell were you doing?
I was taking a photo of him taking a photo of you. It's great content.
I think no, Anna I just turned green. Meltdown. This is like, wow.
Well, your minutes up.
Proper meltdown.
Do you want to go again?
Yeah.
Do you want to go again?
Can we like re-edit that, please? I can't. Okay. I can't have that on there.
Leave it in.
Do raw, not leave
raw
it
and
in.
Uncut. We are raw and uncut.
No.
Why do not you massage the
let's
truth.
Let's take the pressure
day.
Off because okay. This is a complicated film with lots of names in it, and I've only seen it once. So I think no timer. Let's just hear you. Let's hear the summary of the film.
I tell you what. I won't stop you.
Okay.
A minute.
Okay.
So don't do it as fast. Don't do it.
You know, I once recapped the entire MCU in a minute. Do you remember? I did that, right?
Yeah. I did that. That was me.
That was me.
I recapped,
I did it
like,
well.
What was it, the Hulk in like 20 seconds or something? Oh, it was like 14.
Come on, pressure's off.
Okay.
No judgment.
Okay. How about the script for this podcast? How about we just go through your talking points?
Yeah, well, it would be, wouldn't it? Okay, I can do this. Okay.
In a minute.
In
do
a
you
minute.
Want pressure on or off?
Like, let the alarm just like go in a minute, okay?
Just like, okay. I'll tell you your time when you finish.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Amnesic Kree Super Soldier Veers is having a hard time controlling her powerful proton fists and snarky attitude. Her spy retrieval mission goes tits up when she's zapped by the shape-shifting Skrulls who are after a mysterious Dr. Lawson and her special light-speed engine. But Veers busts free, runs around barefoot, kicks some Skrull ass, and crash lands in a blockbuster. And Agent Nicholas James Fury is on the scene to show off his S.H.I.E.L.D. logo and babyface Coulson. Banter is interrupted by Skrull attack in a semi-successful pursuit. One Alta Vista search later, Veers and Fury bond over more banter and try to hunt down Lawson. Too damn bad, turns out Lawson's dead. Also a Kree. The engine was blown to smithereens and nearly killed Veers, but instead gave her glowy superpowers. Along with a stowaway cat, Fury and Veers, now Carol, take refuge with Bestie Rambo and her awesome daughter. But Skrull's on the scene with even more info. Turns out Kree are the bad guys and the Skrulls just want a peaceful home. The team decloaks Lawson's space lab, which turns out where the main Skrull family has been hiding all along with the Tesseract. But evil Kree on the scene to massacre said family and snatch the Tesseract and Carol. But it's time to throw off the yoke of the great intelligence and kick ass through the third act. Standing up montage. Awesome proton powers. No doubt. Canyon chase. The cat Furlican eats the Tesseract and Carol scares away the accusers. After a quick stop to punch out Jude Law, Carol takes the Skrulls home hunting and leaves Fury with an intergalactic pager. With one eye on the prize and the Furlican by his side, Fury begins drafting an Avengers initiative.
I can see the time.
How long? How long? Tell me.
1 minute.
Oh, so what, like right on 60 seconds? And?
And 2.7 seconds.
Damn.
I mean, the first sentence was impossible to read. I don't think I could even read that now.
I'm going to have to re-strategize. Reconceptualize this whole thing, I think.
I think you're putting too many words in.
I'm putting too many words in.
Definitely, you know, there's a sentence too long. But it was a valiant effort, and you know what? It's reminded me of plenty of things that happened in the movie that,
excellent,
once again, I completely forgotten about. Okay, so let's have a quick chat. What snacks have we got
snack
on the
chat.
Go?
Snack time. So this time I've gone for...
Are they called Car Fresh? Is that
what... I think that's what they're called. Car Fresh. Co-fresh. They are chili and lemon grills flavored potato snacks.
Okay.
And proud to be the number one Indian snack brand. Quite spicy, quite crunchy, and on the
quite big as well.
They're quite large.
Like you go in for a handful and you pull out two.
Yeah, they're quite.
So why did
bulky.
You pick these?
I have to admit, I was drawn in by the flavor combo, chili and lemon.
Okay,
and
so nothing to do with Captain Marvel.
Well, and then the sort of like yellow Starburst packaging drew me in as well. And then just to be on the other end of the sound spectrum with our snacks, I've gone for a gelatin-based snack. Very sorry, Martin.
It was okay.
Not for vegetarians, which I should have checked. But one of my all-time favorites, squishy snacks, randoms. Got a mix of...
I remember them fondly.
Oh, I love them dearly. Reach in, pull out a squishy pink snowflake. Or it might be an ice
cream
cone.
That's my online screen name.
And I have brought in assorted Christmas nuts.
Thank you, ma'am.
No. Which is my online screen name. Okay, let's kick off with the cast. Oh. First up, cheers, please. Or booze. Brie Larson as Carol Danvers. Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury.
Yay!
Creepy. Creepy.
Ben Mendelsohn as Talos.
Yes.
What else has he been in?
That's a good question. He's been in a couple other things.
He was in Rogue One.
He was in Rogue One.
As?
Sort of evil, like he's the one that came down to...
Director Krennic.
Yeah, came down to Rey's farm, stole her dad.
And then Darth Vader's like, don't let you choke on your ambitions, Director Krennic. And then like, chokes him a little bit, but doesn't kill him, importantly. Mm. But then he dies at the end. Spoilers.
For other films.
Well, the planet he's on gets blown up. we've got Jude Law playing Yon Rogg.
Weird.
One of the first times where there's been a major Hollywood actor in it hasn't pulled me out of the film.
Really?
Yeah, he seemed to sit in quite well for me.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got Annette Bening as... Dr. Wendy Lawson or the Supreme Intelligence, depending on their...
Yeah. I mean, she wasn't given very much to do, was she? I'm a big fan of Annette Bening, but it was very meh.
Got Lashana Lynch as Maria Rambeau.
Yes, she was cool. So cool.
Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson.
Welcome back, babyface.
we've got loads of people playing Skrulls.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know by name. As Skrulls. We've got Jimon Hounsou returning as Korath.
Man, I thought he was going to have a bigger role.
I know,
when everyone was like, ooh, Korath's in it.
It's like an odd wink. Yeah, he's there. Lee Pace returning as Ronan.
Lee Pace is so sexy.
I love Lee Pace, but that was weird. Yeah. His bits of Ronan were very strange.
And Akira Akbar as little Monica Rambeau.
Yes.
Oh, she was good.
She's now in contention with Cassie for the best kid in the MCU.
Apologies to everyone who played important Kree or Skrulls in this movie.
It was Gemma Chan, who I'm a big fan of. She was one
of the... She had the half-shaved
hair.
Yeah, she was Italian.
Cool. I'm
playing
a big fan
Minerva.
Of her. Yes. Yeah, she... she's in that... is it E4? It's a show called Humans, and she's fantastic.
Oh, is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So let's get in. What's your immediate emotions about this movie?
Ladies first, please.
Okay. So I think it's kind of important to at least acknowledge sort of all the pre-controversy that was surrounding this film. The online trolls made a big effort to kind of whack down the ratings. I mean, Rotten Tomatoes actually changed the way they do things as a result. And so it was one of those things where I already had like kind of high expectations for this film, but I was also very much just looking forward to it, but like, yeah, new fun entry into the MCU. But then this thing, this controversy, kind of raised my expectations in a different way where it's like, okay, now like I need this to be good. Like I need it to be something like powerful. And on that, on the fun installment of the MCU, like great, good time romp, knocked it out of the park. As something powerful and meaningful that I wanted, like that my expectations just got way out of proportion because of the ramp up to it with the troll thing. It was a bit of a miss for me. And it's one of those films where I want so desperately to say great things about it because the worst people on the internet were saying so many horrible things about it. And it didn't quite hit that space for me. But we'll go more into that. Martin?
I've got a mouthful of nuts.
No, you know what? I'll tell you what, I'll go then, because I need a bit of a sense check on all this as well.
Go.
Because there's a lot floating around there on the internet. You know, there's a lot of this stuff from, as you said, people tanking the ratings beforehand, and a lot of drama around that. But I think the flip side of that as well, I think has led And this is how I'm perceiving it, but I may need to be corrected or at least see the balanced opinion is, I think the flip side of that is loads of people have come out and said, oh, it's such an amazing, inspiring movie. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a woman at the front of a superhero movie and it's amazing as a result. Yeah. And almost that's gone completely the other way and led no option to have a middle of the road conversation to say, it was an okay movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether it's just like extremes of debate. And this is, I guess, the internet all over the past few years is you're either hard this way or hard this way. And there's no sort of middle ground to say, did it do all these really empowering things? And was it really beneficial? And as well, at the side of that, was it actually a good movie? And was the story okay? And I kind of, I think I do, I don't obviously know from the perspective of, you know, I'm not a woman and I don't know whether I felt any more empowered as a result of this movie, but I do have feelings about the storyline and do I think it was great? I think it was very good at what it did.
Yeah.
And personally, I you know, and we'll come onto this a little bit because Martin, I'm desperate to hear your opinion and yours again, Anna, but I think we're heading into a situation with Marvel movies where we can't expect them all to be Avengers Infinity War or, you know, your Winter Soldiers. Mm. Martin, how about you?
That's how I felt as well. Middle of the Road is quite a good summary of how I feel about it. I don't think there's been many Marvel films where I'm not at either end of the spectrum.
Mm.
Like, I really dislike, as you've all heard, you know, some of the films. I really love some of the others. Like, I remember when we did the scoring for the rankings, I had none that were like fives. You know, I was like threes or sevens or tens. And this is like...
Or a zero,
yeah. This is like... This is like a five out of 10. Like, it's I feel really indifferent about it. Mm. And I never feel indifferent about Marvel films. Like, if I felt indifferent about Marvel films, I literally wouldn't be here.
Well, you were difficult to get back for season 2.
And I just, yeah, I found some bits really hard to understand and keep up with. Mm-hmm. And they were so geeky. I found some bits really kind of too obvious, and I found some bits just didn't really fit in the film. It was so many different things and themes that it kind of left me like not really knowing what I felt about it. I don't know, like, there were some bits of it that I really liked, but most of it I was just generally indifferent. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's fatigue. I don't feel fatigued by the MCU. Mm. I did after we'd watched 17 of them in 6 months, but generally, like, I will always typically enjoy rewatching a Marvel film, but this one made me feel a bit, oh, is this just how it is now? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anna, I mean, you know, we've done the full circle straight back to you. Now you've heard our sides. What's your take?
Well, I guess, like, also that when sort of with that reaction I had to the film, then I was sort of breaking down the elements. So, like, if I think about just how do I feel about Brie Larson and her portrayal of Captain Marvel. I've always been a really big fan of hers. Like, I love her in The Room. And she does comedy really well as well. Like, she was in Trainwreck, and I think she was in one of the Jump Street movies. But
she was in Scott Pilgrim.
She was in Scott Pilgrim.
Thank you.
Yes, she was great in Scott Pilgrim. So she, I know she has this range. And there was something about Carol that came across a bit one note. She didn't really do as many extremes. Like, I think one thing Brie Larson does do well is kind of, like, she's really good at kind of quieter, impactful acting, but I don't feel really that's what was happening here. And that's not to say that, like, that has, like, everything in superhero movies has to be big and bombastic, but I don't know if it's part of it came from, I feel like there wasn't enough time being taken to tell the important parts of her story. Like, there was a lot of moving things on. Like, I felt like Lawson and this engine was such, like, this big MacGuffin in this film. We've got to find this thing, and that's driving everything, rather than, I think there could have been more focus on her journey. And then I think the decisions that she was making on how to portray Carol and Cap and you know, then ultimately a superhero would have felt bigger. And I don't really feel this was the way this film was set up gave her space to do that in the right way.
Mm. You know, I thought it was really interesting, and right to that point about, you know, I guess her personality in this movie was, so we're working our way through the X-Men movies at the minute. And one of the main themes of that is Logan, Wolverine, he can't remember who he is from before a defined point in time. But yet his personality remained. It's just his memories that are gone.
Yeah.
And I think with Captain Marvel, she's in a move. She's in a storyline where she's trying to remember who she is. She's trying to say, who was I? I can't remember that. Yeah. But actually, she doesn't seem to gain a personality until she remembers that. Mm. And it feels like she's just a blank slate throughout the whole movie. And I guess what I'd have loved to have seen a lot earlier in the movie is her personality. Because when it did start to come out in the end, it was great.
Yeah.
And it was really funny. But I feel she was devoid of that for a lot of the movie. And yeah, you could say that that's a storyline reason and that's a character development thing. But I don't think it helped the movie in any way. It felt like it was missing. And it felt like, oh, Captain Marvel's here now. Mm. I'm not yet really invested in her.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, there was some at the beginning, like when Jude Law is her mentor slash captor, was sort of, there seemed to be a big part of Kree training that was like, oh, contain your emotions. Emotions are the enemy. And yet the way that the Kree interacted with each other, like that little team, like the banter they had in the plane before they went off, I thought that was quite a funny exchange, actually, when they talk about, oh, you're actually objectively quite a handsome man. Like all that, they clearly have emotion. So it wasn't like they were all blank slate soldiers. So I agree with you, Dan. There was sort of that weird flatness to a lot of her to start.
And I think as well, though, it was... it must be really hard to do an origin film at this point in the MCU, because even when she remembered who she was, there didn't seem to be like a step up in, because we'd already seen her in the suit. It was a different color, fine. But you'd already seen her suit. You'd already seen her like absolutely smash all of her powers. So then when she was right at the end and she was kind of destroying all those spaceships in kind of, you know, full Captain Marvel mode, it didn't feel like a grand... you know, this is me coming into my own superpower moment. Yeah. I was like, well, I've kind of seen all of your powers already. Mm. I appreciate that you're really powerful. I don't really understand that you've broken the shackles of your kind of, your captor, but it didn't really feel that impactful because we'd seen all of what she could do pretty much in the opening scene.
Yeah.
That felt really odd for me. Mm. There wasn't like a step up.
I think, you know what? I felt like that when I left. But now I've mulled on it, I've got myself into a position, this movie, where I really like it for what it is, because I think I've kind of figured out in my head that Marvel now has a few different tiers of movies that it's going to put out there.
Mm.
And it says, okay, this is a casual, you can watch it on a Saturday morning, fun, family-ish movie. And we're really happy with that, and that's... we're not trying to do anything more than that. And they are your Ant-Man's, your Doctor Strange's, your origin story Thor, your Iron Man. They're those movies.
Yeah.
And then they have the big set piece movies that are the Infinity Wars, the what Endgame's going to be, your Civil Wars, Winter Soldiers, all that sort of stuff that is like everything coming together. And this storyline from start to finish is like earth-shattering. Not just for the MCU, but for like you as a viewer, you're getting these really rich nuggets of storyline development for the MCU.
Mm.
But these other movies are generally, the stakes are low. Nothing amazing's going to change your perception of the MCU in it. But you're going to have a bit of fun watching it and you're going to enjoy some action scenes. And I think that is definitely what this Captain Marvel movie is. But it's been put out there a really difficult time because it is following... I know Ant-Man and Wasp came out, but it's, for the majority of fans, the first thing they've seen since Avengers Infinity War.
Mm.
And people are expecting some follow-up to that.
But I think it's also like, if it's going to be different to those, be really different.
Mm.
You know, like, be like ultra 90s. Like, it wasn't that 90s, really. It was like a blockbuster and a Nine Inch Nails t-shirt, and that was your lot. But, you know, like, be really, really stylistically 90s.
Like
or just
Ragnarok or like something that feels...
Yeah, and there was elements of that which really threw me off. So, like, when she was fighting in the spaceship and then they started playing No Doubt's Just a Girl.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, this is really Guardians of the Galaxy-esque, you know, a fight with a major soundtrack to it. But I was like, but this film doesn't have that level of style applied to it. So, like, it was like, this is really unusual. Like, why are you suddenly pivoting to a Guardians treatment of this? Whereas, you know, for most of the film, it's been like a Captain America treatment, yeah. or with a bit. I don't know what this film is doing.
It's really funny you bring up that scene in particular. Like right at the end when she's having her final battle against her former Kree brethren,
where we know that she's stronger than all of them and can just like take them out. So there's no stakes.
So then it felt like such a different moment of the movie because it had that song playing. And I agree, there was no stakes, but there were a couple really fun beats in it where she'd clearly like embraced her powers. And they were a little bit too much for her. Like, there were a few moments where she kind of lost control. She was like, rah, you know, making noises. But it only happened, like, maybe one or two times. But the whole battle had this kind of, like, playful feel. If they had amped that up so much more, and it would have felt kind of like, you know, when Iron Man was figuring out how the suit worked.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first thing that sprung to mind. When she had the first moment where she, like, blasted too far and fell over backwards and had a little, like, laugh, being like, oh, that was cool. I was like, yes, yes, now finally we're going to see that.
Mm.
But then they didn't carry that on. Yeah. Like that didn't continue. And if something like that had happened so much sooner in the film, that I think that would have gone a long way to sort of set a tone to what we were supposed to be feeling about her discovering her powers and things like that.
Yeah. Wow. And just one final point stylistically from me on the whole Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack thing. I think I came from this with a little bit of a different thought on the soundtrack, and I thought it was really much more Ragnarok than it was Guardians. Because
I think
Marvel are really good at putting these pop culture references in, and especially in music. We've seen it pretty much since the first Iron Man movie where there's AC/DC. But the characters aren't aware that those songs are happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's what puts all of those separate from Guardians, is in Guardians, they know that music's happening. Mm-hmm. They're listening to it, and the music's a part of the storyline.
Yeah.
Where in this, it was just the theme, soundtrack.
Why didn't that music start after she smashed the guy into the jukebox? That would have been so much better because, like, the music started and then she crashed.
Like in Shaun of the Dead, where they smash him in, and then suddenly it's a bit of Queen playing. Yeah, you know, you're right. But I did think personally that it was a little bit different to Guardians in how, you know, they weren't. Actively listening to it, but maybe it could have done with that. Maybe she could have done with a little CD Walkman.
Yeah,
who knows? Yeah, that'd be old. You know, actually listen to some Nine Inch Nails at some point in the film.
Oh, that would have been good too.
Like she, like that was like emblazoned across her chest more than an actual uniform.
Yeah,
but she didn't have any memories.
Yeah,
she didn't know who.
She might not like them.
Yeah, she just nicked it from a
mannequin
charity shop.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Oh, I'm sure it'd be a charity shop now, but then it might have been a hot.
Oh, it definitely would have been a hot. It would. Yeah, she took it off that mannequin that was store. Like showing
I had
off
so
the
many
look.
Nine Inch Nails t-shirts.
Okay. So moving on a little bit, let's change it up. Talking more about the storyline. So we're introduced to a few new moving parts in this movie, and one of those is the Skrulls. And they're kind of, they start off as the bad, what are you rolling your eyes for? Come on. So give it a chance.
Right.
The Skrulls start off as the bad guys in this movie. But then the storyline evolves and it turns out they're not so bad after all. How do you feel about the introduction of Marvel's Great Green Race?
This is my least favorite thing of the whole film.
The Skrulls?
Oh, yes. I love Ben Mendelsohn. I thought he did such a good job.
Stupid, flaky seen men.
What?
Like they're the green ones, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Cool. Fine. So like I just don't understand why do they attack her in the first half of the film?
Because right. they think she's a Kree.
No, but, no, they don't. Like they okay, so here's so I've now seen it twice. I went with the express no, because I was very confused by this as well. So my second viewing of what that I went to was like I'm going to pay attention to the storyline at the expense of everything else so I can figure out what is happening.
And not summarize it in 1 minute.
and not properly summarize
it. So
can I have
a quick stab then?
Go
so
for it.
They don't think she's a Kree.
They do think she's a Kree, but that's not why they target her.
Okay.
So why do they target her?
But do you have more to go on?
Oh no, I was just
being funny. So why do they attack her?
So my understanding of it, they have been trying to find what we're led to believe, this light speed engine. But the Chief Skrull, he knows that wherever that engine's signature is, that's where his family is, his hidden. Veers, at the time that she's Veers, because she's been zapped by that engine, has those powers, he registers the signal on her He's like, she has the same signature as this engine. Get her memories, figure out where that engine is, and then we'll be able to find the engine, my family, those things. So that's why why they go after
bit of a leap. I mean, you could just like talk to them, which leads me on to my second point of why they're ridiculous. Like, just because you turn up at someone's house uninvited, like if I turned around and there was suddenly this like green monster there and he's like, actually I'm a refugee, I'd be like, get out. Like, I won't be having any of it. But like, she just believes them and like switches sides straight away, and there's no real it just seems like a really illogical decision that she makes, and it happens like so quickly. And then she's just like,
together her memory a lot though. When she's upside down and she's having those memory flashes, I think maybe what I took from that was that was maybe her being shown that some stuff wasn't truths. So she kind of didn't have her memory at the start of the movie, but she got generally accepted truths, but was still desperate to find out who she was. And then that upside down memory flashes bit kind of, I think, made her go, some of the things that I actually did believe, now my mind has shown me is not true. So now I'm just looking for any sense of reality.
But it was such a sudden change of mind and such a definitive one now. It's like, I'm going to go and kill all of my friends.
Well, she did. They did bring the Flurkin, to make sure that the green guy was the equivalent of holding a gun to his head to go look at this thing. I think the change came when she saw the little kids and the family that had been trapped on the spaceship. Because I think she was still suspicious of him until they arrived on the ship.
I didn't get that.
And I guess with her powers, she's never in a hostage situation, really.
Yeah.
So if she had gone with them, she could have just totally effed him up.
Yeah.
And I can forgive a lot for what Ben Mendelsohn did with that character. I really, really enjoyed him. In fact, to the point of, I was almost a little bit disappointed when he turned out to be a good guy, because I really liked his sort of swanning around attitude. Like, one of my favorite scenes, when it was all of them in Rambo's house, and he comes in and he's like talking to them, and Rambo says, like, I'm going to put my foot up your, and he's like, do I have to guess? And like all those types of things. I love that banter. We scared of the cat. Like, that scene in the house with that standoff was one of my favorite bits of the film. All of them, it felt like everyone had a firm grasp on their character. Their personalities were behaving like in the right way. I really enjoyed that scene.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed the characters in this movie.
Mm.
But it was the storyline that I feel a little bit let down by, but then I've come to accept it as more of this sort of casual Marvel movie rather than something earth-shattering. I was just really surprised that there wasn't a final twist with the Skrulls.
Yes, yeah,
like,
agreed.
Knowing everything that I know about Skrulls from the comic books and how it's always like, are you a Skrull? Are you a Skrull? Are you not a Skrull? Mm. In this, it was very easy to figure out, oh, they're a Skrull over there.
Yeah.
They're a Skrull.
Yeah, why did they
And
keep,
then there's no
they
twist.
They kept, like, revealing in a way, like, even when she punched out that old woman, which was like a big part of the trailer, they like, there was no like, oh my god, she punched a woman. It's like, because they've shown us it's a Skrull. Like, there was no,
so there's a bit of a conspiracy theory about this old woman.
Oh right.
Because the Skrull that she punches isn't seen for the rest of the movie.
Oh,
so from what I understand, the talk around the web is that either that is just forgotten, they went back with the other Skrulls, or are we going to find out that someone that we've known all along in the MCU
is a Skrull?
And we've, you know, since 1995, there is a Skrull in the midst that we're like, oh, fuck.
That, I'd be into that.
Yeah, and he's...
If you had to guess right now, which of them is going to be a Skrull?
Well, in this movie, in Endgame, is Danvers going to be like, you're a Skrull, just to someone. And they're going to be like, what?
Rhodey.
What about...
I mean, we've seen the trailer, like, you know, Ant-Man's knocking on the door. How did he get out of the quantum realm? Is he a Skrull? Maybe he's a Skrull.
Maybe he's been a Skrull all along. But that would have helped him in Ant-Man and the Wasp when he had an ankle tag on.
Oh, that's a good point, yeah. No, I'm not saying that he's always been a Skrull. I'm saying that guy knocking on the Avengers door.
Is that a Skrull?
Yeah,
not actually. But they have to see them to turn into them.
Oh,
so
that's a good point. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Sorry, conspiracy theory.
Is there someone who died and we didn't realize it? You know, what's going on? Black Widow?
Never.
Black Widow's a fucking Skrull.
Her hair changed color. This is crazy.
I won't brook no nonsense of Black Widow being a Skrull, but that would be. I'd be cute. Because, like, I do want the Skrulls to. have been more impactful? Like, rather, again, rather than them just having been another sort of weird moving mechanism in this story, I do hope they end up being a bit of a bigger.
Yeah, I hope they come back. I hope we get a proper Skrull storyline, so to speak, potentially post Endgame.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the second wave of the MCU, I'm in. I'll allow it.
Do you feel like Captain Marvel had too many sidekicks in this film? Because, like, it was like, well, it's a kind of a buddy movie with him, with her and Nick Fury for quite a long time. But then also she's got to reconnect her relationship with
her friend Rambo.
Yeah. And but then it's also there's some Skrulls that she's got to be, like, pally with. And she's also got a cat.
Yeah.
And there's also Jude Law.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's quite a lot of, like, relationships to keep track of, I thought. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that was kind of an interesting element of the story. Like, I really enjoyed Fury's and Carol's interactions. I thought they played really well with each other, good banter. But for a movie that was sort of heralded as this is the female superhero film, and I mean, come on, it's the first Marvel-led female, first woman-led Marvel film in 21 films. And yet you're right, she always had a buddy.
Yeah.
It was very rare that it was like just her shining on her own.
And yeah. I did think that Nick Fury overshadowed her in quite a few of the scenes, particularly in that, wasn't it a library, but you know, with all the kind of files and stuff.
Mm.
I thought his CGI freaked me out.
Oh, really?
It was like the first Avenger all over again.
Oh, I thought it was quite good.
I didn't like
it. I liked it. I didn't have any problem with it. I just thought it was weird that old Samuel L. Jackson made to look like young Samuel L. Jackson didn't look anything like young Samuel L. Jackson. It's like you've made a different person.
Like you have
never existed. You know what I mean? If you just made him look like young Samuel L. Jackson, it was just odd. It was strange.
It was a bit weird.
So, just to labour the point about the sidekicks, one last little bit.
Mm.
How do you feel about her relationship with Monica Rambeau, so that the child of her friend Maria Rambeau? Because Monica Rambeau has some superhero chops in her.
Yeah.
So in the MCU, Monica Rambeau became Captain Marvel, right? Not the same powers.
Not in the MCU, in the comics.
Yeah, in the comic. Became Captain Marvel. Similar, not the same powers, but similar looking-ish powers. She can turn into energy in any form, really. So she can change into, like, energy waves, really. But now is in the MCU, or almost recently was in the Marvel comic book universe, sorry, not the MCU, as Spectrum. And once again, it's just the same energy wave sort of powers. But in present-day Avengers Endgame, Monica Rambeau will be what, like 30?
Yeah.
She'll be like prime Avengers age in Endgame. So are we getting another new
awesome
surprise superhero rocking up?
Ooh, I could see, I don't know if she'd show up in Endgame. Although actually it would sort of make sense, Carol returning to Earth, and like she would probably be like, this dusting's happened, where are the Rambos?
Gone.
Yeah, where's Fury, as we heard in the post-creds?
No, but I think that surely Captain Marvel needs a stake in a reason to fight Thanos.
Yeah, yeah.
And surely that stake is all the people that she knew on Earth.
But don't forget that the Thanos thing was universe-wide, so all her Skrull mates might have been snapped as well. Fury's been snapped.
I can see the Rambos being gone in Endgame, but the next generation, you've got Carol, maybe you've got Spectrum, maybe I could see that'd be a great bring back.
She's gonna be prime age.
Yeah.
So, and Captain Marvel in that post credits didn't look like she'd aged a day.
No.
So,
because I thought the whole Captain Marvel thing was gonna be time travel, but it's
well,
it's not,
is
it?
That's what I thought too. I thought the quantum realm was gonna bring her back. That's not.
But her powers are essentially an extension of the Space Stone. So I think the Tesseract, which we'll get onto right now, but I think the Tesseract is going to play a bigger part in Endgame. It's been the kind of the staple of everything so far. It was You know, in the Thor movie, it was in the Captain America Avengers. Movies, Avengers movies. We've now seen it in Captain Marvel. I think that is our key to something out there in Endgame. And Captain Marvel being imbued with the power of the Space Stone.
Imbued.
Is like mega. That's you can see how much power she's got as a result of it.
And I really like, I'm really looking forward to Captain America no longer being the strongest Avenger.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's going to be so interesting that, like, she's, like, by default, like...
So is she the new Cap? When we say Cap now, we're referring to Captain Marvel.
I've always referred to her as Captain Marvel. Like, it's just... Yeah,
she's not Cap.
She's not Cap. Like, Cap very rarely gets called Captain America, but Captain Marvel, for me, has always been Captain Marvel.
What would Captain Marvel have to do to be the new Cap?
Cap would die.
Ugh.
And then it's just Cap. Yeah. And she's still saying Captain Marvel. All right.
Can I also point out another thing about Captain Marvel's names?
Yeah.
So everyone called her Viers, but I read it as Verse.
Yeah, but I think that was just their... That,
but I was like, are we all using the word Verse now? Is that like coming out into like mainstream culture?
I think it's just how they interpreted it on Kree.
Yeah, they must have different ways of saying.
They're just saying V-E-R-S, so they went Viers.
Right.
And I guess if you saw Verse by itself without knowing... What have you?
Totally missed.
Have you just got that?
Yeah.
They got the other part of the doctor.
What, the Carol Danvers? You only just got that? Oh,
I just thought it was just, you know, a Kree name.
Oh my God.
I think because of that, like, it's not Viers.
He even finds and picks up the dog tag.
When he picks up the dog tag, I'm like, well, her name's Verse.
Yeah.
But they've never heard her name as Carol Danvers. It's just V-E-R-S and, like, Viers.
No, but I thought it was Verse because of, like... Twice. Top bottom Verse, like that's how I read it, but apparently not. And the other name that why was the one called Lawson when her name's Brie Larson?
What?
So like the Infinity Intelligence artificial woman.
Yeah,
yeah.
Her name's Lawson.
Yeah.
But I always kept thinking of Brie Larson.
Oh. But I mean, that's an actual character. You can't change her name.
No, but I was getting confused, and I thought when they were talking about Lawson, I was like, oh, they mean Captain America because that's Brie Larson. And I wait, Brie Larson's her actual actor name.
You mean Captain Marvel?
Right, yeah. Okay, you two have lost the plot.
There's too many names. What was Jude Law called? Like Yu-Gi-Oh or something?
Oh, I never got his name.
Okay.
Egg roll.
Before we get onto Jude Law, because we do need to talk about his presence in this movie, but... A little bit about the Tesseract before we finish off. Now, anyone who's listening to this podcast has probably either said, why is the Tesseract timeline now so effed up?
Yeah.
I might as well go trying to figure out what order the Marvelous Lunch Break episodes were filmed. Or filmed, recorded.
I don't think I'm geeky enough for
Marvel. Or they've already read the summary of the Tesseract timeline, and in which case, this is now pointless listening for the next few minutes. But
the next few minutes, it's been like, it's
do you guys get it?
No,
I do now, but I had to read up on it.
So you get it, but you had to read up on it.
Can I have like the abridged version?
Okay, where do you feel it's falling apart? And we'll just bridge that.
I don't. It's the in the ice in the '40s in a cat's belly in the '90s.
Great,
that doesn't make sense to me.
So the Tesseract, summary timeline, history of the Tesseract, right? Tesseract was in Asgard for like forever, okay? And then somehow it got to Earth. We don't know that how it got to Earth bit, but then Red Skull found it in World War II.
Yep.
Went into the ice. Howard Stark got it from the ice, okay? Then that's kind of where S.H.I.E.L.D. was formed, and we've got to assume that they kind of took possession of the Tesseract.
So Pegasus is a part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So Pegasus is a part of S.H.I.E.L.D. And what we've got to assume is that Pegasus, because Lawson was working with Pegasus, was allowed to use it to research lightspeed technology. Okay? And then subsequently put it in a plane, lost it.
Yeah. Supposedly. S.H.I.E.L.D. would have been like, ah, shit, it got blown up.
Yeah.
But she had hidden it.
But actually the whole time, it was in this hidden space station.
Which no one's ever discovered.
Which no one's ever discovered, okay?
It's the 90s.
Because it's hidden. Yeah, we didn't have space in the 90s. Then, in this movie, Captain Marvel finds it. They put it in the cat's belly. Yep. It lives in the cat's belly on Samuel L. Jackson's desk until the cat hurls it up. At which point, we have to say that Nick Fury goes, this needs a bit more attention and safekeeping. I'm going to keep it in the Pegasus facility. So the place that we saw in this movie, the underground Pegasus facility, is the same facility where the Tesseract lives and gets blown up at the start of Avengers in the desert.
Right.
And that is how your bridge is made.
Okay.
Then it gets blown up in the Avengers. Loki steals it. Thor, Thanos, all this sort of stuff. Present day. So that is the gap there is, I guess it's not really explained clearly enough that the secret underground Pegasus facility is the same secret underground Pegasus facility at the start of Avengers.
Right, I'm here. I'm back. I'm with us.
You're back in the game.
Thanks.
Great.
But I have to say, that should not have been necessary. Like, that did really bother me, like, watching the film, and it just, like, it took me out so much when it was like, oh, it's a Tesseract. What the F? Like, what is it doing there? / I thought I was done with these goddamn Infinity Stones.
You never.
Why would you want to be done with Infinity Stones? This is great. This is like, this sort of conversation is like core nerddom.
It's true.
Like, if we didn't have these nuggets to go away and analyze, I feel like the whole Marvel Universe would have been way less interesting if it was all spelt out.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of car journeys I've had theorizing over whose butthole they're going to pluck the fucking soul stone from.
Remind me never to be in a car with you.
Great. But that's the Tesseract over and done with. Excellent. A timeline, I believe, exists. The gap is how did it get from Asgard to Earth in the Nazi era? That we will probably never know.
True.
Unless it's revealed in Endgame. Along with Skrulls and...
It was Odin all along.
Okay. But you're not king.
Speaking about... No, I can't find a way to turn king into law, but... As we said, we're going to bring it back to Jude Law. And there was a bit of a weird vibe around him in this movie. I mean, you've said that he didn't really pop you out of the movie.
No, he fit in quite well, I thought.
But I popped me straight out. I was like, that's what's his name? And then I was like, it's Jude Law. And then I eventually got his name. And then his character was weird, man.
His character was weird.
Like, just the weird... But... Not just his storyline, but like the way he spoke and everything was not, he was not human because he wasn't human in the movie, but just his whole acting and his eyes and everything in the movie was, it was like sinister. You could tell that from the off.
Yeah, I think this is the other thing that was a little bit difficult with this film because kind of immediately there wasn't any question of, Jude Law was sort of sinister from the start there, even before you got the storyline of her having lost her memories and then been taken by the Kree so they could get at her energy. He had this way of speaking that felt very like gaslighting-esque quality of like, you know, keep your emotions at bay. This is the kind of soldier you need to become. And none of that felt like things were being done in her best interest. But then like kind of then quickly, we realize that like the Accusers and Ronan are a part of their forces. So for me, I was expecting there to be kind of more of a storyline in like, oh, how did, because we knew Ronan was Kree and we knew that he was an extremist from Guardians of the Galaxy. So I was really hoping for more of like a schism within the Kree that was going to be explored and how Hounslow became, you know, best buddies with Ronan when he's already got a team. That whole reveal of like, oh, the Kree are the bad guys. I was like, oh, is that it? It's just sort of what we thought. The Accusers are the bad guys.
But that's the thing. The story isn't deep. Do you know what I mean? It's not one of those big Marvel set piece movies, but it's kind of presented as one. And I think it was never in need of that sort of deep story. That would be great. But it's just like, I think the expectations given for this movie were weird.
Yeah.
And I think there wasn't a moment where Jude Law's villainous qualities towards Captain Marvel felt justified. There was never a moment where she really got a payoff from keeping her emotions in check. You know, those lessons that he was trying to teach her, there was never a moment where she was like, oh, thanks, that really helped, you know, to kind of keep the idea that he was actually had her best interests at heart.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe that's why it was so easy for her to team up with the Skrulls.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, actually, this guy's fucking douche.
But there was no surprise when it turned out he was the bad guy.
Yeah, agreed. It's sort of, I think it's something we've sort of talked about before, where there wasn't, like, then the next level of like, what does this mean for kind of character development and us as an audience going on this journey? Also, it just didn't seem like a very good strategy. Like if he was going to trick her into something, it would have been more along the lines of like, okay, yes, you're from Earth. You've been like doused with some very dangerous stuff. And if we had left you there, you would have been a danger to everyone around you. So we've got to control you. That's why you've got the chip, which was also never really explained. Mm. And then once you master yourself, we'll let you go with no intention of ever letting them go. But that seems like that would have been a smarter way to handle things.
So her pulling out the chip moment.
Yeah.
But then also, and sorry, please tell me if it doesn't feel this way to you, but I guess the cheesy sequence of historic Carol Danverses as tiny girls all standing up.
Oh, I quite like
it. It was nice, do you know what I mean? But it was very like in fitting of this style of movie. Yeah. They're all standing up, and then she stands up and she, you know,
kicks ass.
Tells Jude Law, fuck off, essentially. His final moment of trying to present that one last challenge, you know, oh, you've torn your way through 20 spaceships, but can you beat me in a fist fight?
I really liked that moment.
Yeah.
That was the only kind of Jude Law, Brie Larson moment I really liked in this because I think that, and Anna, I'd really like your opinion on this as the woman on the podcast. That's not all you bring, obviously. but of just like knowing that as a man, knowing that you are the weaker, it's confirmed that you are the weaker of the two, like intellectually or physically or anything, but still having the arrogance and the patriarchy behind you to still try one more time to gaslight someone into thinking that they are less than you.
Yeah.
I think that for me was the most feminist bit, the most overtly feminist bit of Captain Marvel for me. And that's the only moment I thought was really finely tuned out of the whole film.
I totally agree. That was the moment. And particularly him saying the phrase, I'm so proud of you.
Mm.
Like that. So when we saw the film, we saw it in Everyman. It's a bit of a posher cinema.
It's a middle class
cinema. It's a middle class cinema. The audience is very well behaved.
But it's good for a treat like this. Yep. Any other day of the week, I'm paying £4 and going down to the View.
But then so my second viewing was at the View, full audience again. And this was a much more rambunctious audience. And that scene where she's facing him off and he goes, I'm so proud of you. Every single woman in the audience laughed so hard.
Really?
Like, so like that. I mean, there were other people laughing, like everyone's laughing, but I could really hear the women laughing during that thing. That is such a fucking common phrase to hear. It is like the patronizing thing for a man to say, and to have to say it in that moment when it's like superheroes fighting each other. It felt so grounding, but so right, and being like, okay, this is her last obstacle. But it wasn't an obstacle. She breezed right through it because she knew who she was and how far she had come. But I think that was one of the smarter, powerful moments of the film, definitely. Yeah.
Well, interesting. And just for my own exposure and out of interest, what's particularly patronizing about that and the way it's usually presented?
I mean, it's one of those things, again, where context is king. Uh-huh. I mean, this is certainly not to say that the phrase "I'm so proud of you" coming from a man to a woman is like, you know, fingers down the chalkboard.
Nervous now.
No, not
I
not
tell Camilla
all.
I'm proud of her every day. I'm sweating over here.
No, it's a little bit difficult to describe, but the times where it really gets your back up is very much when it's used as more of a power play. It's not an expression of pride, and it's not an expression said for you. It's not a pride in your accomplishments. It's saying, I'm so proud of you, like, because I come from a position above you to be able to look down and say, well done. So that's the type of thing. So
like a pat on the head.
Yeah, and also the way he said it as well was very much like he was like trying to turn around of like, look what I've done, look what I've created in you, all my lessons have come. And I think the interesting thing about that as well was, I don't think that's what he, I think he was like in his mind going, shit, like, oh my God, like I am in so much trouble here. So here's, like you said, like here's the weapon in my arsenal to try to get back under control of this. And that's like a classic thing as well. So yeah, I definitely appreciate that being the final moment. And then when she drags him across the desert, that was good too.
I think you could definitely tell in that moment that he'd run out of options completely as well. Like, in his eyes, he was, like, just spewing out these, just anything, fist fight, whatever. He'd completely run out of options. Totally. And then, when she just, like, boots the spaceship and fucked off. It's like, yeah, fuck off.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And I thought, I don't really think I could ever see him being in a Marvel movie again. I mean, he was, like, terrified of going back to the Supreme Intelligence, being like, I can't possibly go back there and face this without, like, a Skrull's head or whatever.
Yeah, something to show for it, yeah.
But it's just blasting off. I can't see him. Could you see him being back in a future Marvel movie, or...?
Nah, that was a one film role.
And the other one was Ronan turning around and be like, I'll be back for the weapon. Or whatever, or we'll come back for the weapon.
That was such a weird line. Why did they include that?
And he looks like a purple sausage without his war paint. You know, like...
Yeah, I was like, where's his eyeliner? Yeah. I was really confused.
So what happens for him to get his dribbly eyeliner?
Mm.
I think maybe Captain Marvel 2?
Maybe. Bridge that gap.
I think he just discovers a Nine Inch Nails cassette on Earth and just decides this is my luck now.
I think
it'd be a Murder Dolls DVD somewhere. Double DVD. Oh, wrong 90s.
I think it'd be interesting to see. I think, because Lee Pace, I think, is great.
Yeah.
And I think Ronan has been a decent character in his moments. Do you know what I mean? He's been funny.
Is he dead?
So he got blown apart in Guardians, didn't he?
Dance battle to the
death. Yeah. They killed him with the power of dance.
And love.
but I think, knowing his endgame, I think it'd be interesting if there was a Captain Marvel movie set in the late 90s, you know, where he's... It may be a more space-focused movie.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
He's a bad guy.
When Guardians opens, they're signing a peace treaty with the Kree, except for the extremist accuser. So maybe Captain Marvel is the one who brought about that peace.
Yo.
I'd be into seeing that.
Let's get Kevin Feige on the phone. Let's get you over to Disney, and let's get this movie made.
Make it happen.
I'm in. I want to see this. It's the peace treaty Captain Marvel movie.
Sounds like a lot of forms.
We call it Captain Marvel 2, Peace in Our Time.
Excellent.
Any, I guess, you know, I think we've done quite a bit of shitting on this movie. My sort of closing thing about it is I really enjoyed it. Really, really, really enjoyed it. But at a different level than I was expecting. I was expecting this would warp my perception of the Marvel Universe. And I'd be like, oh my God, all of these things are possible in Endgame now. Where I just kind of feel like, yeah, it was origin story level. Now I've accepted it that. I'll watch it again, definitely, but with no extreme focus.
Mm.
Where I've sat down to watch Infinity War in the past few weeks and I'm like, right, everyone shut the fuck up. This is the 11th time I'm seeing this, but if anyone talks, I will kill you, or I will snap you.
Oh, man, I'm saving my Infinity War viewing for right before.
Okay.
Ooh, good plan.
But yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, so we have a listener, Rich Watkins?
Rich. Yeah,
Rich
Watkins. My friend Rich, great former colleague, but more than just a former colleague. He's got a great nerd brain.
Yeah, he does. And he posted his review on Instagram and tagged A Marvelous Lunch Break into it, so had a read. And I think he makes a really good point, something we've touched on, about how, like, it's always really tough dropping an origin story when the stakes are currently so high in the MCU. And I mean, I think it was quite a bold move for them to go with this movie at this time, to kind of give Captain Marvel her moment before we had the introduction. I mean, because they could potentially have swapped it around. We meet her for the
originally
first time.
Was yeah, swapped exactly. around. So they must have had a point drafting Infinity War 2, as it was called, pardon me, at the time.
Yeah.
And gone, oh, fuck. Like, we can't get away with just her turning up.
Yeah, yeah. And they could have done, but they didn't. And I am glad that she got this moment, that we have her introduction. I'm really looking forward to her interacting with our OG Avengers. There's some people in particular that I think she's going to get along
I
could see her and Scott having some really fun, awkward bants. He seems like the kind of guy that would know his, like, 90s trivia that she could bond with. I think Sherry's going to be fascinated by her, want to do all kinds of cool like tech stuff with her proton powers. Yeah, and I'm just sort of looking to see how her like approach to things, her fighting style, which seems to be very much like, yeah, whooping through the sky, blowing up things, intimidating the accusers, paired with the cap's much more like sedate managerial style. Although he's gone through a real world shift with Endgame, so he might be
I think they're going to rub up against each other, you know, because there's going to be a lot of people who are saying, we just had Thanos come to Earth, and F is up, and he was way OP.
Yeah.
Now you're coming, and you're saying you're here to help. How can we trust you?
Yeah.
You're overpowered, like, we need to get rid of you, all of this sort of stuff. I think there's going to be a little bit of friction.
I'm looking forward to seeing how they gel together.
I'm looking forward to seeing also, like, I think in Infinity War, each Avenger had their own kind of little fight scene that felt like the right size for their powers.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, like a lot of Black Widows was still quite one-on-one, even though there was a huge space battle happening. So I'm really interested to see how Captain Marvel fights alongside the rest of the Avengers when her powers clearly outstrip everyone's kind of 10-1. Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting to watch.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, who could go up against her? Thanos with Gauntlet?
Maybe. But I could see her kind of taking a role sort of similar to Thor when he came in the final battle and had his lightning just like taking shiz out. I could see her being that side of the battle.
Battle of the glowy eyes.
Yeah.
But it's also like, what does Thanos... I don't think it's going to end up in a big battle scene because like Thanos doesn't have an army anymore. He doesn't have his children. Like, he doesn't really have anything. He doesn't have a glove.
Yeah.
So I think it's more about undoing than a big final showdown.
He does have a glove.
It's all effed up, isn't it? All the crackly. We'll see.
Like, but
the thing
glove.
Is also, like, Thanos doesn't have anything to fight for. He's not interested in fighting. He's done. Like,
he's like,
yeah, he did what he said he was going
to
do.
But do you think he would intervene if he got wind that people were trying to undo what happened?
Yeah, possibly.
But how would he intervene?
But as well, is he going to get tripped into a different time?
Back with the glove. Back still needing to do it. Oh, who knows? Oh my God, you guys,
Reality can be anything I want.
So...
It does the whole... Oh.
Oh, we're so close.
I know it's a month away. Like, I would have felt completely edged by this movie, but it feels like I've had a starter. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it feels
like I've been at a restaurant. I've had a nice little starter. You know, I'm all like, okay, we've had a wheel of cheese. We've had a camembert. I'm good. I'm full. I'm ready to go. Hit me with the mains.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get mains and dessert at once. That's what I'm expecting, is I have to get the other two courses served at the same time. Mm. And I'm just like, and I'm going through a mix of new and conclusion constantly for 2 hours. That's what I want. Is I want main course and dessert with two forks, eating alternatively. With Endgame. My expectations couldn't be higher for this movie.
Yeah.
But I'm not at all concerned that it won't deliver.
Yeah. That's how it's a weird juxtaposition. We'll see if it changes as we get closer, if the fear builds.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid of everything. I'm definitely afraid of Captain Marvel. And I'm definitely afraid of Flurkins.
Flurkins. Yeah. Aw.
Final question.
You must have liked the cat.
It was a bit too CGI for me.
I thought he was great. Cats are kind of CGI looking.
Not a big fan of ginger cats either. Those are my least favorite cats.
Ginger cat racist. Oh.
Whoa. One final question then.
I've got a question for you as well.
Can I do it
just before we do Stay or Go?
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. You now. Go.
Okay. Captain Marvel. As you have to choose.
Okay.
Is this like a Snog, Marry, Avoid situation?
Yeah, but just with two.
Okay. Just with two, so I'm... Okay, you give me the premise.
Which is your favourite?
Okay.
Oh, no, which do you think does a better job at a standalone female superhero film?
Oh, no.
Captain Marvel, Wonder Woman.
I knew that was going to be the question.
This is difficult.
Mm.
Didn't watch all of Wonder Woman.
Unbelievable.
I mean, the third act. It's better if you stop before the third act, to be honest.
I stopped before the third act.
Okay.
But
because then there's that like giant, glowy.
Ares. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I kind of stopped around about then, I think.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Because
I enjoyed the real world stuff. Mm. That was
and
great.
Is this a horrible thing to do, to be pitting two female superhero films against each other?
No, I mean, I think it's an interesting question. I don't think it, like, don't take this wrong. It's not an important question, as in, like, oh, God, you're going to tear at the fabric of what makes female superhero movies a thing now. But I think it's a question worth asking.
Because I think Wonder Woman for me did a... I enjoyed that film a lot more. Mm. And it felt... Not that they had to be, but I felt that had more feminist moments, yeah. Maybe?
That's kind of exactly how I feel as well. I would say I liked... The elements of Wonder Woman that I enjoyed the most was because she was the... She's shown throughout. Like, it was her film. Okay, there was, like... Pine is sort of her buddy and like the band of misfit characters, but there is not a shadow of a doubt that was Wonder Woman's film. Whereas this film felt more comfortable to me. There were elements like of my beloved MCU that were so present in this film that I liked that more. So the trappings of Marvel, I preferred to Wonder Woman, but as a woman-led film, I think Wonder Woman was probably better. Mm. That's not to say I'm still pretty sure that Captain Marvel could kick Wonder Woman's ass. But that's a different question. Ooh, for a different time.
And the, you know what, the trailers or the shots and everything that we've seen for the new Wonder Woman movie, I'm in. Yeah. I'm sold. Yeah. Everything that DC is kind of selling at the minute.
They've stepped it in a different direction.
I'm buying.
I'm here for... She's 90s as well. She's 80s, isn't
80s.
She?
80s. 1984.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm definitely buying, and we very rarely talk about DC, but I'm very much buying their what seems to be ideas of, okay, we're not going to try to do a big shared universe. What we're just going to try to do is make standalone great films.
Yeah.
And
it's about damn time.
That's what we're going to do. And that's going to be our thing, is that we have individual movies that are amazing, and you can put them in an order, you can do whatever you want, but we're going to focus one movie at a time.
Good shout. Good.
Very smart move. Because, you know, arguably, that's what they should have done 10 years ago.
Yeah. Stop trying to play Marvel's game, because no one does it like Marvel. So. No.
Marvel are very good at it. I had one final question before your final question that you wanted to do before my final question. Okay. And mine was, where's Goose these days?
Well,
do you think this kid is still around?
Well, if Flurkins live normal cat lives, that cat is hella dead.
Yeah.
If Flurkins have...
They don't look like normal cats.
Yeah, I've seen them.
That's not a cat.
If they have, like, you know, a longer Flurkin lifespan, then he's somewhere. And why hasn't Fury used him? Who knows?
I don't think the Flurkin's around.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Flurkin.
Poor Flurkin. Okay. Have you taken a picture of your cat?
I have. All my notes for this episode are on cat-themed post-it notes. So that I'll drop that on the ground when I can remember.
Meowstit notes?
No.
Post-it notes.
Yes, there you go.
We got there. Second try. Okay, Anna, stay or go?
Totally stays.
Martin, stay or go?
It stays. I didn't like it, but it stays.
For me, it's a big fat stay. Cannot wait for Avengers Endgame. But before then, next week, we will be joining you.
Come on, Dad. Come
again.
On.
Yeah, I can get this. The timeline straight in my head.
Where's the Tesseract?
Okay. It's like, you know, when Thanos puts the glove on and he's putting the final stone in and he... Yeah. That's me figuring out the timeline. It's one fucking moment. Okay. Next week, we will be joining you back with season 2. And if you've not been listening to season 2, please do. Because we have been re-watching all of the X-Men movies, from X-Men 1 through to 3, then the Wolverine movies, and then we'll be doing the later X-Men movies in the run-up to X-Men The Dark Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
It comes out later on this year.
Not bad trailer's been dropping for it as well. Mm.
Now, if you're in order, next week, last week, sorry, you should have listened to... I've got it.
Okay.
I'm a big boy. Okay. Last week, you should have listened to The Wolverine. Next week, you're going to be listening to Logan.
I promise I won't be having a meltdown.
And Anna's going to have another pop at this 1 minute thing as well. Let's see if she succeeds next time.
God.
And then what's after that?
And then we'll be back on track. X-Men First Class, Days of Future Past, Apocalypse Now, and Dark Phoenix.
But We will be doing a special dropped in there.
Whoa!
Because...
What's the... Another whoa. Special, you say?
Whoa!
What could we possibly be watching between now and June?
Well, Dan, I'm so glad you asked, because in between X-Men First Class and Days of Future Past, we have got Avengers.
What?
Endgame.
There's another Avengers movie coming out? I love baby. Those things.
Yeah.
Come on, don't roll your eyes.
I'm having a lovely time.
I'm having a great time too. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure as always. I'm very excited for what we've got ahead, both in the MCU and the XCU. See what I did there? Whoa! XCU. Didn't see that one coming. Thank you very much, listener, as well, for tuning in. Please remember to review us, subscribers, go follow on our new kind of ish Instagram.
Marvelous Lunch Break.
And we will be back in 2 weeks' time in your ears. Have a wonderful time between now and then.
Bye.
Bye.
Post credits.
So
we've already kind of talked about them, but yeah. What's your thoughts?
Oh man, I mean, I just got such a buzz seeing like Cap and Black Widow. Like when it was the two of them on screen, I was like, oh yes, yes. Mm.
And who else was in that? Rhodey.
So Rhodey walks through the door. Yeah. I didn't stay for the credits after I watched the second time. Sorry, but yeah, Rhodey walks in.
Somehow. I think it's just those three.
Yeah, just those three.
And we've got the cat coughing up the.
The Tesseract.
Yeah.
The Tesseract.
I mean, that was a lot of credits to sit through just to see a cat vomit.
Yeah, they love playing us that way, don't they? Because now that you've got like the important mid-credit scene happens and then they make you wait.
And it's nothing.
Yeah. I think that's what we get now. I might start walking out knowing that the end is going to be A, available on YouTube and B, just a funny
cat
little
vomit.
Quip.
Yeah.
Someone once told me, and I don't know if this is correct, and I'm sorry if I got this wrong, but in Chinese culture, it is respectful to sit through all the credits.
Yeah, then people worked hard.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but at the same time, in Iron Man 3, they put in about 10 minutes of fake credits just to troll people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, come on, Marvel. Who's the fool now? And one final thing as well. We haven't left it to the last because it's the least important, but Stan Lee's cameo in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That was lovely.
And the pre-roll, the Marvel thing being full of Stan Lee's face.
That was nice.
It was really nice touch. Yeah. I wonder whether they had more planned for this movie, but then edited in his cameo to be a little different.
Yeah, I really liked it. Just fear smiling at him and that being it. And there's rumors that he's not done. We might be seeing him.
I mean,
it would be such a nice way to finish if he was in Endgame.
Yeah, I really
it?
Hope he is.
Yeah, I think Endgame's wrapped filming like last week or something.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then, which is like a month. It's like a really short turnaround.
Yeah.
And then we've got Spider-Man Homecoming, which was already kind of sealed last year or whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if Stan keeps popping up for years to come.
Glad to hear it.
Cool. Have a wonderful week, everyone. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.